The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one who he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you?" "What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. Good morning.
Good morning.
18th Sunday of Ordinary Time, we have gathered here to celebrate the Eucharist, the living bread that Jesus gives to us, and the bread that he gives us indoors forever, for all eternity. And that is our participation in the Holy Eucharist. Let us be grateful to God that he blesses us and prompts in our hearts the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to us and come and participate in the Holy Eucharist. So already God has touched you and is working through you. He works through us in each and every day of our daily life. He's a mystery. We try to comprehend him in different ways. Sometimes we understand, sometimes we cannot. In 2004, I was interviewed by a great man of this country, the Chancellor of Fort Wayne, Indiana Diocese. So Fort Wayne, some of you know, it is very close to you. And I was supposed to come to work in this country, and I was interviewed by him. And he asked me, "Father, how many years are you ordained?" I said, 3 years. "Do you want to come to America?" I said, "Yes." It was telephone only, so you cannot see the video, but telephone. So he asked me the question. I have to ask some questions. And he asked me, he said, "Father, how many churches have you served?" And I said, "Churches?" I could not understand at the time, because when you talk about church, then in our place, my understanding of church is just maybe he's talking about different denominations. That is what I understood. So I said, "If you would have said me, how many parishes have you served, then I would have understood very well. But yes," since he said, "how many churches?" So I was thinking he's asking me about different denominations. So I said, "Yeah, when I was in the seminary, I was going to the Protestant church. I was going to the Anglican church. I was trying to learn from them." So he got confused again. He said, "Why is he talking about the Protestant church? What kind of priest he is? Is he a Catholic priest?" So I was denied there itself. I was denied by him to come to this country. And he says, he's a strange priest. I was punished by the bishop of my diocese. The bishop of my diocese, he sends me in a very countryside, primitive way of life to learn something what God has planned. God is a mystery. He works through us in our lives. And I was a pastor for 9 months in a place where I was not knowing much about, but I said, wherever you want to send me, bishop, I'm ready. So he sends me a very far, very remote countryside where the people live very primitive way of life. So there was no electricity in that parish. There was no running water. So I had to go to get my bath or early morning, go to the hand pump outside. Nobody can see me early morning. So I'll take my bath outside. And the pump is there, the water I'll pour. And with the mugs, I'll pour water and get inside before the sun rises. So it is dark, no electricity, so I have the lamps. And at night, there would be many mice dancing all around the house. We have the groundnuts we are cultivating. And yes, at night they will come and attack everywhere. And they will be dancing all around in the trees, on the trees, on the houses. Everywhere will make the noise. But I said, okay. Then one afternoon, I was just going around the Paris. It is the land, kind of nowhere. The bushes all around. And the snakes and mice, they play a lot. Some of the boys, young boys, they have a very adventurous time on that day. And they were very happy coming back, bringing the results. And what it was the result? They went dig all those mice so that they can catch them and bring them home. Why they want to catch the mice? Yes, that is the delicious meal. Gross. Yes, you can imagine the gross. Yes, but yes, in that place, that is delicious for them. Hungry people, when they are hungry, they can go to any extent. And that is what they did. Yes, not only one or two, there were 30, 40 on the hooks they are catching. We have delicious meal, Father, today. Okay, wow, good. So don't ask me what I have done. But the people who are hungry, they can go to any extent. In the first reading today, we hear about the Israelites. When they were in Egypt, yes, what they did. And on the way to the desert, we see that they are starving, they are hungry. And they are grumbling, murmuring for their food. And God provides them the manna. He provides them the quail. God has his own plan. He provides for its people. He provides today to you in a different way. From that Paris, I have to come in 2006 to this place. And it is not the small church where I was thrown into. That was a big church, St. Gerard, in 2006, where there are 2,700 registered families. So you can imagine how big is the mega church. And it says, wow, now I have to serve these people. What do I know? And I says, wow, Lord, you have the plan. I don't understand. But yes, it is the bishop. Through him, I was able to be invited, Bishop Carl Mengling. And then I was straightforward in that big church. You are placed here. Do whatever you want. I cannot bring the good news, certainly very intellectual news, a very talented news, but yes, the faith what I have received in my baptism and the ordination for which I was ordained for the country where I was. But God has a mystery. He has his plan to provide for its people. I do not know why I came up this way in this country, but God has his plan. I'm from that part of the world, but God provides to his people in his own way. He works with mystery. So today we will be very privileged to understand that how God provides for each and everybody. When he looks for the physical hunger, he provides the physical hungry man, the people, for their food. But he looks for the spiritual hunger as well. What are we hungry for? Not for physical things or material things much, but there are things which only God knows in our hearts that can be spiritual hunger. So let us be privileged and ponder upon that we can reflect the mystery of God in this world. It appears that many things produced today are not made to last. Take our modern buildings everywhere, all over the world. If you go to Washington, D.C., if you go to New York, if you go to Chicago, if you go to Detroit, oh, beautiful buildings, beautiful monuments all over. The Parliament buildings, the White House, and everything. Certainly they will last for many years, almost 300 years, sometimes 500 years, sometimes many years. But yes, how many buildings that have gone up in recent years in the city will still be there in 300 years' time? Much of what we see sometimes can be gone. Much of what we buy today in our lives in a smaller scale, like furniture for our homes, does not seem to last very long either. The clothes which we wear have a shorter lifespan compared to the generation or two generations. We live in a culture where kind of throwaway culture. Even if some of what made today will last into the future, there are probably some books of our own time will have an enduring value. Some movies and plays that are presently being made will be watched and enjoyed for generations to come. We always retain the capacity to create something of the enduring value that has the capacity to engage people, not just in the present, but into the future. They last because their value is greater. Our journey of faith through life, we tend to seek out what might be of lasting value. And that is what we come here to celebrate. The time of Moses, time of Abraham, because we sense that it can enrich us, make us better human beings, having found something of real value, which we can often return to it, whether it is book or a poem or a piece of music or a painting or an art or a building. We know from our experience that what we really value are not so much objects or things, but the people whom we love, the people whom God has created in the image and likeness of God. A good friend is worth so much more to us than a good book, a good piece of music, a good painting, a good art. There is nothing more valuable to the parents than their children. For those who are in love, their treasure is the beloved. Everything else is on earth is much lesser scale of value. We want the people we value to last forever, which is why the death or the loss of a loved one is such a devastating experience. In today's gospel, the crowds, the people whom Jesus fed in the wilderness, come back looking for him, wanting more of this bread that he has provided. Jesus takes the opportunity to point them towards more enduring. His advice is, do not work for food that cannot last, but work for the food that endures eternal life. The horizon of Jesus is not the mere horizon of this world, but that of eternity. When he speaks of the what truly lasts, he means that what it is that lasts into eternity. For Jesus, what is of the lasting value is not just what is remembered for generations into the future, but what will continue to have value in eternity. It is hard to keep that horizon of eternity before us, but it is amazing that we are participants of that eternity. Especially in these times, when we try to understand the universe, soul absorbing, yet the horizon of Jesus is the horizon of eternity. And that is our celebration of the Eucharist. How wonderful to participate in this amazing grace of God. Certainly, he takes this earthly life very seriously. He has invested himself in showing us how to live the life by teaching through the scriptures, his words, by his way of reaching to the people. He gave himself over to the meeting of the basic needs of those whom he met. He helped the sick people. He comforted the bereaved. He fed the hungry. He befriended the lonely. He told us to do the same and declared that what we do for others, we do for him. Yet, all the time, the backdrop was an eternal horizon. In living in this way, we are preparing ourselves to live forever. Those who live by the values of the kingdom of God will inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke of himself as the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to live in this life. He shows us how to live our life well. Thereby, he is also the way to eternal life. Those who follow in his way will live forever. How fortunate we are to understand the mystery of God. Jesus is concerned about what endures not just into the successive generations, but what endures into eternity. He understood that we have been created by God to live forever in his image and likeness. And he came to show us how to attain the eternal life and empower us through the power of the Holy Spirit to attain it so that we can have the willpower and act on it, the capacity God has given to us. That is why he speaks of himself in the gospel as the bread of life. So the bread of life has a very big meaning. He endures into eternity, and those who receive him in faith and walk in his way will also endure into eternity. If we come to him and stay with him, our deepest hungers and thirsts will be satisfied. In this life itself, and more fully in the life next to come. Therefore, let us be grateful, brothers and sisters, when we think about that what endures, we are thinking first about our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the gateway to enduring life for ourselves and for all whom we love and for whom we have our value. May God bless you as you trust in him, as you are baptized in him, as you want to walk with him. May God bless you to walk firmly in your ability to act upon it. May God bless you and strengthen you. Amen.